We have a number of scriptural readings we're going to go through this morning, and I'll try to leave time for you to look them up if you wish. But if time becomes an issue, I will just switch gears, as it were, and read them without much time to look them up. We'll see how things go. In our last exhortation, we drew lessons and encouragement from a faithful group of brethren, the sons of Korah. Despite the rebellion of Korah and his ultimate fate, a humble and obedient group would listen to the voice of God. They would obey the voice of God. We plan, Yahweh willing, to continue over the next few months to look at perhaps the most visible son of Korah, Samuel. Several of the Psalms were the work of the sons of Korah, and perhaps we will see what is there and share it by way of exhortation. However, today, a simple first principle subject. It is a command that is found throughout Scripture, from beginning to end. Hear my voice. So the title of today's remarks is, Hear My Voice. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17 reads, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Through the voice of God, man is issued a commandment, which he promptly disobeys. Among other things, they knew they were naked. Adam and Eve would try to hide their sin physically with the fig leaves. They could not hide spiritually. Genesis 3, 8 through 10. We'll read Genesis 3, verses 8 to 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. The word for voice here simply means sound. So whether the whispering of the wind or his spoken voice, this time they heard it. They took heed and listened. Adam and Eve knew of Yahweh Elohim's presence and could not hide. And so, as it started, so it has always been. We must hear his voice. We must hearken to his voice. We must obey his voice. We have the example of Abraham. Let's look at Genesis 22. We'll read verses 16 to 18. This is when Abraham's called upon to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Genesis 22, 16 to 18. And said, By myself have I sworn, saith Yahweh, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars in the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In speaking to Isaac, Yahweh says in Genesis 26, 4 and 5, speaking to Isaac, he says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Continuing the example of Moses, let's turn to Exodus 15. Here the episode of the waters of Marah. Exodus 15, verses 24 to 26. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. So by diligently hearkening and listening to the voice of God, giving ear to his commandments and keeping his statutes, we will be healed. Exodus 19. Here the episode as the children of Israel come to Sinai. Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6. And Moses went up unto God, and Yahweh called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure above unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So what are we told? Again, obey my voice, indeed. Keep my covenant. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure, a purchased people, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words. This was the voice of God speaking to the house of Jacob, the children of Israel. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. We'll continue to see that here early in the scriptures, the message is very consistent. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So to diligently listen, there will be blessings. To not listen, to not hearken, cursings. Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So since the beginning, the continuing requirement, through all ages, all dispensations, hear my voice. Whether Yahweh was dealing with men one-on-one, as with Moses and Abraham, or speaking with the nation, the children of Israel, obey my voice. Hearken unto him. We'll continue on for just a little bit longer. Turn to Jeremiah 7. We're going to see the thread continuing. Jeremiah chapter 7. Here the keeping of burnt offerings and sacrifices was not the primary command. What was? Jeremiah 7, 22 and 23. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. This was often a difficulty for Israel, and can be for us. Look at verses 24 and then 28. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Verse 28, But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, and is cut off from their mouth. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. By contrast, we could always consider the words of David in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, you probably know it from memory. Verses 1 and 2. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. David knew the sound of the voice of his shepherd. He would follow him. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The still waters, with a marginal rendering of the waters of quietness. More on this in a moment. With Yahweh as our shepherd, the one whose voice we should follow, then we, like David, should fear no evil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. With Yahweh as our shepherd, hearing his voice, as Philippians 4:19 will remind us, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, obey not the voice, truth is perished. Hear Yahweh as our shepherd, like David, I shall not want. If we truly hear and heed the voice of God, what are we told will be the result? Let's turn to Romans 10 and look at verse 17. If we really hear the voice of God and heed it, what benefit is there? This verse we're going to refer to several times today, and this will obviously be the first. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we hear the word of God, or as some translate this, the word of Christ, faith will come. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. Word here is not logos, but rhema, the spoken word, possibly written word. Logos is described as divine counsel, reason, or some have said, divine concept. But here in Romans 10:17, we have reference to the spoken word, again, the written word, possibly, meaning to utter or speak aloud. A declaration made evident to those who might hear. A declaration made evident to those who might hear. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Let's turn to Matthew 4 and look at verse 4. Here Jesus is in the wilderness. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here we read that man shall live by rhema, the spoken word, day after day, leading to faith. Here in Matthew 4:4, the word proceedeth is in what is called the continuing present tense. In other words, it's in the present tense, but in his application that continues. Man shall live by every word, or rhema, as it proceeds out of the mouth of God. Daily, we get our spiritual feeding from the proceeding personal word of God. What we have in our hands is the spirit word. It speaks to us. If we hear the rhema of God, it quickens, it imparts life, it guides and directs us. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, verse 25. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So if we But take the time to hear God's voice through the word. It endures forever. It is how we hear the gospel. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6. For one last description of what it means to hear his voice and what the voice is. John 6. Verses 63 to 68. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Here we read that attempting to hear God's voice or the spoken words of Jesus as quoted here was too much for some. Some went back and walked no more with him. Jesus asked, will ye also go away? Then the wonderful response of Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So in reality, how do we hear God's voice? In Mark 4, as Jesus is in the midst of presenting several parables, he states, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's verse Mark 4:9. Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Is this a reference to our physical ears? Well, to an extent. We do need to listen and we need to hear. The deeper meaning, however, speaks to our inner heart, our minds. We must hear the voice of God with our heart. We must have a hearing heart. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We want to take a look at the example of Solomon. First Kings chapter 3. Verse 5. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. After some explanation and discussion about why he would request it, Solomon answers Yahweh in verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? In the margin, you may have a note that renders understanding heart a hearing heart. Solomon wisely asked for a hearing heart. He will tell us in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart of the flesh is rarely an understanding heart, nor a hearing heart. Think of Pharaoh and the description of his hardened heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Here we're going to have another example of some hardened hearts. As Solomon set the example for all believers of the truth, and he wanted a hearing heart, and spoke of keeping his heart with all diligence, conversely, the scribes and Pharisees did not care for this. Speaking to his disciples, who had asked why he spoke in parables, Christ says here in Matthew 13, verses 13 to 17, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. The Pharisees, like so many through time, they were spiritually deaf. Their hearts were calloused, hardened, inwardly deaf, no response. Let's look at Psalms 95. Here David weighs in on this remark years earlier. He's referencing back to the children of Israel. Psalms 95, verses 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We asked ourselves just a moment ago, how do we hear God's voice? Solomon got us started. We must have a hearing heart. To have and maintain a sensitive hearing heart, what are the requirements? How do we have this hearing heart so that we might hear the voice of God? Well, there are several requirements. For one, we must give our attention. We need to pay attention. This will lead to humility. Attention and humility. Why do we connect these things? We go back to Solomon and the Proverbs. Part of hearing God's voice with a hearing heart will be expounded upon here. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll read several verses in Proverbs that will show us the importance of attention and humility. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend to my words. Pay attention to my words. Hear my voice. Then incline thine ear. Turn your ear to my sayings. Bow down your ear to understand and learn. Proverbs 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Again, give attention, heed, listen to my wisdom, but bow thine ear in humility to get understanding. Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Some translations here have bow down thine ear translated as reverently attend. So with respect, bow, incline thine ear to hear. Hear his voice with a hearing, understanding heart. This is all totally foreign to popular culture today. There is always a distraction. There's always noise, making it difficult to attend to anything. There is background noise everywhere. It is as if everyone today is afraid of silence. To hear God's voice, we must not be distracted. We must focus with both ears, as it were. All of our heart, all of our mind on Yahweh. The instruction in Proverbs calls for attention, full attention. We should bow down our ear and listen. Listen to our God with humility. There are two more aspects to hearing God's voice we wish to mention. We sort of mentioned one of them already. To better hear his voice, we need quietness, and we need time. Let's turn to Psalm 46 for this aspect of hearing his voice, that we need quiet and we need time. Psalm 46, by the way, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Other translations will render be still as cease striving or let go. So therefore, be still. cease striving and know that I am God. A plea for quietness here. Turn over to Psalm 62 for this aspect of time. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 5. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. We are being admonished that the element of time is involved. We must wait. We must be silent and focus our attention on hearing God's voice. All of this is so lost in the world in which we live in. Constant noise, lack of focus, always in a hurry. There just never seems to be enough time, at least for those of us, myself included, who at times allow the world and its cares to sweep us up. A change is coming, maybe any day now. Soon the age will be upon us where everything will be move at a slower pace, determined by Yahweh. Surely the times will be quieter. A quick example from Scripture. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. We're going to find another example of what I think is the importance of quietness. 1 Kings chapter 6, hear the description of the building of Solomon's temple. 1 Kings 6, verse 7. And the house, when it was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither. And so there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Here described a remarkable example of the engineering and construction of Solomon's temple. Every piece carefully cut out and built far away from the construction site. The structure was to be built in reverent silence. The stones that were to be used were large and had to be worked on, just not at the site. These stones would be quarried from beneath the city and cut and fabricated a good distance from the temple. They would arrive hewn and ready to be laid in place. Turn back a page to 1 Kings 5, 17 and 18. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones and costly stones and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them and the stone quarters. So they prepared timber and stones to build the house. In its silent construction, we see the temple as a type of the spiritual temple or tabernacle under construction now. So with this theme of quietness and how the temple was constructed with an attempt to quietness, let's see what the lesson for us might be. Ephesians 2, 19 and 22. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So by quietly taking our time to hear God's voice and work out our salvation, we slowly become solid stones as the spiritual house is constructed. Reading from 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed even indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16 will read, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? To summarize our points from the past few moments, turn back to Proverbs 2. I'd like to read Proverbs 2, 1 to 10. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand and fear Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. For Yahweh giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant into thy soul. Back up in verse 1, the phrase, if thou wilt receive my words, there's a cross-reference that will take you to Proverbs 4:21, which reads, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's a cross-reference, I'm sorry, from verse 1 where it says, hide my commandments with thee. So the point is in Proverbs 2:1 where it says, hide my commandments with thee, in essence it's saying to keep them in your heart. If we hear the word, the voice, and hide it in our hearts, what will happen? As verse 5 said, we find the knowledge of God. As verse 6 says, we get wisdom and understanding to go with the knowledge. And in verse 10, all of this will be pleasant to our soul or life. Our soul, our life. So what of our life today as believers? What does all this mean for us in our walk in the truth? To make all this pertinent and real for us today, let's take a look at two portions of Scripture in the New Testament. Hopefully it will bring all of this talk of hearing God's voice and what it refers to into focus for us and help us live according to His will and not our own. So to start, the first place I would like to read is from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Here Paul quotes Psalm 95, which we referenced earlier. We will read the quote and his inspired thoughts on it. Hebrews 3, 7 to 19. Wherefore, and he begins the quote, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. End of the quote. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Time is fleeting, so we won't take time to mention but a point or two from this passage. We should mention that this section will be upon us soon in our Sunday school studies. We can consider much of the lessons there, then. Also, Brother Mack has given an entire exhortation on this third chapter of Hebrews, and you would do well to listen to it. It's on his website. But for now, today, as it pertains to our consideration of hearing God's voice, some quick thoughts. Paul here in Hebrews 3 is quoting David in Psalm 95, 7-11. While these two are writing centuries apart, their messaging is similar. That messaging is that today we must hear God's voice, so our hearts will not be hardened. Verse 7, verse 13, verse 15, all with references to today. So with David originally expressing the message and Paul quoting it, the emphasis is to all ages. Now is the time to hear. Now is the time to cultivate a hearing heart. lest our hearts be hardened. Today we must hear his voice and understand and do the word of Yahweh. I'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Reading from Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. One other consideration before we leave Hebrews 3. We also have seen here three references to hardening. Harden not your hearts, and exhort one another lest any of you be hardened. The Greek word is skleno, to make hard, render obstinate, or stubborn. It is from the root word skelo, to be dry, parched, stiff. Brother Mansfield will term this word an Egyptian characteristic, reminding us of the dry wilderness of the children of Israel's 40-year probation. We live in a similar bleak, dry environment. Amos 8:11 will remind us there is a famine for the word of God. All of these thoughts are kind of wrapped up in the term hardened. We can overcome this situation. As we have read here in Hebrews 3, today, if ye will hear his voice. There is so much more here, but we must move on. Let's turn to our final passage to consider this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. As Hebrews 3 exhorts us to hear God's voice and to avoid a negative result, the hardening of our hearts, 1 Peter 2 will offer the blessings of hearing his voice, the wonderful benefits to us as we work out our salvation today. Second Peter chapter 1 is where I want to go. So as Hebrews 3 exhorts us to hear God's voice to avoid a negative result, the hardening of our hearts, 2 Peter chapter 1 will offer the blessings of hearing his voice, the wonderful benefits as we work out our salvation today. To begin, sort of like the apocalypse, we'll look at the end and then go back and fill in some of the points that got us there. So to begin, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. Here, let's give attention, take our time, and hear what we are being told. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we were made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In earlier verses, namely 13 and 15, we are admonished to remember, keep in remembrance. What? We're admonished to remember we've not followed fables, stories, untruths. We were eyewitnesses, he says, to majesty and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 17 and 18. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter now references that they heard a voice from God the Father for the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In verse 18, he confirms that they had indeed heard the voice from heaven, confirming the work of his Son and confirming his love for him. Peter then draws his listeners, his readers, into this relationship between Yahweh and his Son. The listener, the reader, in their own small way, have access to this voice and this Son. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Although the analogy is to light in a dark place, the true effect is on our hearts. With a hearing heart, taking heed. The day star arises and will lighten the current darkness. Verses 20 and 21 will confirm that Peter is referring to the inspired word of God. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are first principle teachings. This is how we can hear the voice of God today. Verses 20 and 21 are the culmination to the whole chapter. But to go back and complete the message for us of the inspiration of the scripture record being the voice we must hear, we can pick out and scan over the first chapter of 2 Peter just a bit. Consider verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle. What does Simon mean? Hearkening, listening. Of course, Peter means stone or rock. So it is Simon Peter's epistle, and we immediately are thinking of listening, paying attention to his inspired words. What other quick themes are established here in this first chapter of 2 Peter? Follow along. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Verse 3. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 5. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge temperance. Verse 8. That ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Verse 16. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Knowing this first. The importance of knowledge. Knowing. In verses 2, 3, and 8, the Greek is epignosis, meaning precise and correct knowledge. In verses 5 and 6, we have gnosis, which means general intelligence or understanding. And in verses 12 and 14, eido, meaning to perceive, be aware, behold. All of these aspects of knowledge had been obtained and can be attained by hearing his voice. Verse 2 presents a wonderful thought. Through this knowledge, grace and peace are multiplied. Grace is unmerited favor. And peace, Philippians 4, verse 7 says it best, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 3 says that through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Being called, we had to have heard or hearkened. We had to act. By hearing the calling, hearing his voice, verse 4, we see the great and precious promises. This is the key to our salvation, these precious promises. The promise in Genesis 3 in Eden, the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promises to David. Summed up in Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Familiar thoughts in verse 5, diligence leading to faith. We remember again Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verses 5 to 7 will list characteristics that should be guiding our lives in the truth. Virtue, or moral goodness. Knowledge, proper understanding. Temperance, or self-control. Also listed, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8, if these things be in us and abound, we will not be barren or unfruitful. With these traits and diligence to make our calling and election sure, we shall not fall. And verse 11, sitting in the middle of the chapter, is a central focus of our hope. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With this blessed possibility fresh in our hearts and minds, Peter will briefly stress the theme of remembrance. Verse 12, put you always in remembrance of these things. Verse 13, stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, to have these things always in remembrance. hear possibly a request or suggestion that some sort of remembrance be put down regarding the divine relation as it relates to Christ. We remember that Mark wrote his gospel with the help and suggestion of Peter. There are mentions here of my tabernacle, a temporary dwelling of short duration. This was the outlook of the apostles as they look forward to the permanent glory mentioned in verse 11. Transitioning off this in 16 to 18 will tell of Peter's own personal testimony, the transfiguration, his personal firsthand witness. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And what was the short, simple commandment coming from Yahweh's voice, as recorded in Luke 9:35? And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. As we have already covered, this first chapter of 2 Peter now offers its climax. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Ye do well that ye take heed. Regarding the word prophecy, the word prophetia does have reference to prediction or foretelling, as we're accustomed to. But some translators, and there are some meanings of the word that refer to it being a discourse emanating from divine inspiration. That would make us think of the true word. We are being told here something important. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Young's literal translation will render this, we have more firm the prophetic word. More firm the prophetic word. So, on the heels of expounding on the transfiguration and firsthand hearing God's voice while they were in the Holy Mount, Peter states here that we have something more sure, more firm, the Spirit word. The scriptures. They are holy. They are authoritative. How important is it to hear God's voice through the scriptures? Verse 20 tells us, knowing this first. The Greek for first is proton. Firstly, chiefly, first of all. This is first principles. We must know where the scriptures come from. Verse 21, this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You might note your margin, at any time. This prophecy came not in any time by the will of man. The inspired word came not at any time by the will of man. Rather, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Reading from our statement of faith in the very beginning, part one, the foundation. That the book currently known as the Bible, consisting of the scriptures of Moses, the prophets, and the apostles, is the only source of knowledge concerning God and his purposes at present extant or available in the earth, and that the same were wholly given by inspiration of God in the writers, and are consequently without error in all parts of them, except such as may be due in errors to transcription or translation. The key phrase in all that to me is, they are without error in all parts. One final quick thought as we leave 2 Peter chapter 1 and begin to close. Verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Greek for move here is phero, P-H-E-R-O. To get a sense for the force of this being moved by the Holy Spirit, consider that this word is used in Acts 27:17. Describing the shipwreck, I believe is when Paul was on his way to Rome. That verse reads, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and were so driven. So that word driven is the same word as we've just read here for moved. These inspired writers, moved by the Holy Spirit, comparable to a ship at sea, being driven by the winds of a storm. So truly we call this book we hold the Spirit Word, the voice of God. We would like to read a handful of scriptural references that indeed confirm that this Bible is the Spirit Word. No need to look these up, I'll just read them. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, the Spirit of Yahweh spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. That's David. Romans 1:16. This will sound familiar. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Acts 3:20-21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 1 Timothy 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Two more portions of Scripture. Two more portions of the voice of God to read before we finish. Isaiah 55:1-11. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, that he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, and a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he glorified thee. Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For our closing admonition, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thank you.